Making the last payment on a car loan is cause for celebration. Woohoo! The only downside is it's just about that time when your paid-off vehicle starts needing expensive repairs. Are you doing what you can to minimize those? Spending a little time and money now can save you big time down the road, literally down the road. Our host, Rob West, has a checklist of ways to help you keep down auto repair costs. This is MoneyWise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Now, today's program is pre-recorded, so please don't try to call in, but we have lots of great advice coming your way, practical advice that you can use. Good to have you along for the ride on MoneyWise Live. And Rob, we all know that cars are expensive, especially when they start needing major repairs. Any idea of what auto repairs cost us?
Well, it's probably more than you think. Well, maybe not you, Steve, because you're kind of a car guy. But I will say the folks at Liberty Mutual did a survey recently and found that the average two-car household spends just over $800 a year on car repairs. Mm. Now, one reason that might be deceiving is that most of those repairs are going to be at the back end of the vehicle life. So you could go several years without any major repairs, and then wham, you start getting hit right in the wallet.
Yeah, and is there anything more annoying than having to shell out for a major car repair?
Absolutely.
Rhetorical question there, right. Especially if you have to use your credit card. So how do we cut down on some repair costs?
Well, the best way to cut repair costs is to prevent them from happening. As you well know, you can't prevent all repairs that way. Parts do have a limited lifespan, and they will break or fail. But proper maintenance can certainly cut down on repair costs. Mm-hmm. If you purchase a new car, it comes with a maintenance schedule that you must keep current for the warranty to stay in force, but you may not know that you can shop around for lower prices on maintenance procedures. Doesn't have to be done at the dealer where you purchased the car. Just make sure the work is done on time and you keep proper records for documentation.
Yeah, those proper records really are important, because if you decide not to use the dealer and it's a new car, often the dealer can come back and say, well, it wasn't done by a licensed mechanic, it wasn't done at a reputable firm, or you used aftermarket parts, and our fine print indicates that you have to use our parts, our manufacturer's parts, which, by the way, is against the law, but still places try to pull that stuff on you all the time. All right. But what if I don't know of a reputable repair shop in my area? Any idea how you find one of those?
Well, it's a good question. Most dealerships and independent repair shops are honest businesses, but it only takes a few bad apples to make people wary of mechanics in general. But that's changing with websites like Yelp and TripAdvisor, even Google. They all have ratings and have a list of repair shops in your area with customer reviews. It's more difficult for any dishonest business to stay in business these days. That's a good thing. Then don't forget about word of mouth. Ask folks at church where they have their repairs done. Odds are pretty good you'll find a great shop with a reasonable prices in your area.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. And what are some of the routine maintenance items that we need to take care of?
Yeah, well, let's start with oil changes. Auto shops don't make much on oil changes, so they often will try to sell you other things while you're in there. That's not necessarily bad. If you go in for an oil change and the mechanics show you your tires are bald, well, you should thank him or her. If you're not sure another repair is needed, get a second opinion. Now, you might hear them suggest some things that you can easily do yourself, even if you're not mechanically inclined. One thing I learned very early on is how easy it is to change an air filter. It's a snap on most cars, and there's probably at least one, well, maybe 1,000 YouTube videos showing you how to do it for your make and model.
That's right. That's right. There, I mean, there are YouTube videos out there today showing you everything about how to fix a car, even how to overhaul an engine. Not sure I'd want to do that myself. Anything else?
Well, tune-ups were once a mainstay of vehicle maintenance, but it's getting harder and harder to know what a tune-up is these days. You know, in the old days, that meant things like replacing spark plugs and adjusting ignition timing. Cars these days use computer chips that either work or they don't. They never need tuning. So if a mechanic says you need a tune-up, find out what that means. You can also have the car checked out on a diagnostic machine before paying for anything called a tune-up. Remember, everything's computerized these days. Mm. And then another big one, Steve, brakes. Check your brake pads every 12,000 miles, even if they're working properly. Most manufacturers recommend replacing them if there is an eighth of an inch or less of the pad lining remaining.
Yeah, great suggestion. A small, fairly inexpensive brake job can turn into a very large and expensive job. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. That music means we have to move it along. But please don't go anywhere. We'll be back with a number of phone calls and questions that I think you'll find very interesting. We'll be right back.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
What is your biggest obsession? Odds are it was different a month ago than it is today. It is hard to not get caught up in the pandemic and the far-reaching effects it is having on all our lives. Everywhere we turn, the news is about the coronavirus and what changes it is forcing to our everyday lives. We are often pulled into things in ways that steal our focus from what should matter most. Other times, the stress and worry of life force us to think only about what matters most. As much as times like this remind us of the importance of good health, family, and community, there is one relationship that matters more than all the others. That is our relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to walk through these uncertain times with you and take all your fears. If you want to know how to do that, then call 888-NEED-HIM to learn how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Really super to have you along with us today on MoneyWise Live. We've begun today's program talking about the importance of auto maintenance, but we're here really to take your calls and questions on anything that might be concerning you financially speaking. However, Rob, let me step a half a step back again and bring up the car thing again, because here is a wonderful opportunity for local church ministry. I'm talking about something that is often referred to as Car Care Saturday. Yeah. And that's when a bunch of people at the church, generally men, but it could be women as well, get together on a Saturday and do some routine maintenance on cars that are typically owned by widows or single women who don't have the time, the money, or the skill to actually do these things by themselves. And that would include brake jobs and oil changes, maybe changing out some light bulbs. This is easy stuff for guys who know a little bit about cars and automobiles, and it's a fantastic way to serve people in your church, particularly, as I mentioned, single moms and young unwed women. And I've heard of dozens of cases where people started attending a church only because of the Car Care Saturdays. That's where they first learned about it and how they got into the church. And I mean, and this is iron sharpening iron, the body of Christ helping one another in a big, practical, non-expensive way, really.
Well, that's exactly right. I love the idea, and I've been a part of a church that's done this in the past, a huge ministry to a lot of people in the church.
So you were out there, you yourself, Rob, you were out there changing the air filters.
Well, there's people better served in those jobs. I'd be happy to do it, and I can do the air filters, but get beyond that, and I'm probably not much value.
Just don't put water where the oil goes.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
Miami, Florida. Hey, Kim, how can we help you today?
Hello. Hello. Hey. Hi. I'm calling because I'm a single mom with three kids, and I actually just started attending Financial Peace University. I'm in week two, and I have so many questions. I would like to start first with, how do I save? The best way to save, 401k and rent versus buying a home.
Okay, Kim. Well, let me try to tackle those. First of all, let me just say how much I appreciate your call. And I know that it's challenging being a single parent with three kids. I've not been a single parent, but I've counseled hundreds of them over the years on the radio and in person. And I know the challenge that it is to make all the numbers work and save and pay the bills and keep food on the table and provide for your children. So certainly can appreciate where you're coming from. I'm delighted to hear you're in Financial Peace University, and I think you'll get a lot of great information out of that. You know, the key for you moving forward, I think, is first of all to recognize God owns everything. He created you, He loves you, and He is your provider. No one else. Your job or your employer isn't your provider. The government is not your provider. God is your provider, and you get to be His money manager. You get to care for those sweet children, and you get to manage God's money. And the question is, how do you manage it? Based on whatever He's given you, however He provides for you, and that could even be through someone else unexpectedly along the way as they just help you out and bless you. That's part of God's provision too. But how do you do that? And I think that has to start, Kim, with a spending plan. You'll certainly hear that in FPU. You've got to have a plan for your money that says, here's what's coming in. Here's what I can expect. Here's what perhaps hasn't been expected that's come in the past. And then here's all of my expenses. And that has to be documented. It's got to be written down. And then, Kim, you need to have a plan to control the flow of money in and out. If you're real tech savvy and you'd like that to be a smartphone app, then there's smartphone apps for that. If you'd rather have a more tactile approach, Larry Burkett used to recommend the envelope system, and a lot of our listeners still use that today, where literally for the discretionary items, not the ones where it's the same every month, like your rent payment, but for the discretionary categories, you literally fund envelopes with real cash, and then you spend until the money's gone, and then you stop spending in that category until the next month. But that's really the key to financial success. Beyond that, we want to put $1,500 in emergency funds while we pay off credit card debt. Then we want to get up to 3 months in emergency funds. Then you want to start looking at how you can invest. And I would set a goal to get up to 10% of your income going into your company retirement plan or an IRA. You may need to set that up as an automatic transfer and just build it into your budget like it's a bill so that you do it. There's obviously a lot more you can do, but those are the beginning points that you need to be thinking about. Let me just finish with two things. Number one, if you need help with your budget, check in with one of our MoneyWise coaches. And number two, stay on the line. We'll get your information and send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts. I think that'll be a real blessing to you.
Kim, we're glad that you called today. We wish you the very best, you and your three children. But just take things in order. You know, once you have a budget or a spending plan, then you need that savings. Don't try to jump ahead. Otherwise, you kind of mess things up. And it's going to take a while for this plan to actually start working well on its own, because it seems that whenever you sit down to do something like this, an emergency comes up. And that takes you, you know, back a couple of steps. But don't be discouraged by that. Have your budget and your savings in order. Take things in order and make sure that you tell the church what you're trying to do and what your situation is, and then have a plan in writing that you can show them. Perhaps the church would be willing to help you out here and there, whether it's the church formally or some people in your church. Don't be afraid to share with them, because that's the way God set up the body of Christ, so that we could help one another when we have needs. When I have a need, you help me. When you have a need, I help you. And we're glad that you called today. Stay online. Let's get your mail address. Thanks so much. Barbara is in Chicago.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for calling today. How can we help?
Hi. I have a son who's going to be entering the junior college in September, and I'd like to try and get him lined up on some kind of a budget so that he will develop those habits for once he graduates. He won't have to worry about right now he does tithing with his part-time job, but basically he saves everything. But I'd like to get that budget thing going.
Yeah. Well, I love that idea. He's probably savvy with technology, I would imagine.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, let me recommend a couple of things. Number one, you can go to our website and connect him with one of our MoneyWise coaches. They'll walk with him and actually help him set that budget up. If he'd rather do it himself, or perhaps you could do it with him, I'll recommend three apps for him to get set up on. One is Mint. Absolutely free. Another one is Envelopes. And if you want to be able to download automatically, there will be an annual charge for that. And then the third one is Every Dollar. Any one of those three would be great because they're built on the premise that once you get the budget in place, it actually helps you monitor each of the accounts throughout the month so that you don't get to the end of the month and say, how did I do? Well, I missed it in that one and I missed it in that one. No, you actually look at it all along the way. And when you run out in a particular category, you stop spending. So if he has a certain amount for eating out in the month, once he uses it up, he's done. And it's ramen noodles at the apartment or, you know, whatever it is. So I think he's got to get on a plan. He's got to develop a discipline and a habit for a budget now, and that will pay huge dividends down the road. But thanks for calling so much, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara. We wish you the best. Ramen noodles. Boy, that the college days, huh? Sort of arose to your memory bank there.
It sure did.
West Palm Beach. Marie, what's your question for Rob? We have about 2 minutes here.
I've heard you talk several times about the 529 account for saving for college. And I have heard that if you have it designated for a certain child, and that one doesn't want to go to college, you can change it to a different child. Mm-hmm. I have 5 grandchildren, and I'm wondering, can I just put money in there and not have it designated for any particular one?
No, it does have to be designated for a particular child, but as you just described, you would be able to move it from one to another if they didn't need it. Oftentimes, what will happen is their parents will set up the 529, and then you'll just be able to contribute to it, and perhaps you could divide the amounts up among the various grandchildren and do an automatic payment. You could do that every month of a set amount, and then if one didn't need it, you could move money to one that needs a little bit more, or if they get a scholarship award, you can pull it out without penalty up to the amount of the award in direct proportion to it. So it's my favorite way to save, Marie, through the college savings. I'd go to savingforcollege.com, see which state has the best one if there's not already 529 in place for those kids, and then decide how you want to proceed. I'd probably talk to their parents as well just to see what their plan is and then see if you can just contribute to that yourself.
Marie, we sure do appreciate your phone call today. Thanks so very much. You're listening to MoneyWise with Rob West. Keep in mind that today's program is pre-recorded, so please don't try to call in. However, if you'd like to send a brief email to Rob, and that's brief is the key word, just a few lines, if you would. The address is questions@moneywise.org, questions@moneywise.org. Speaking of ORG, you can also find us at moneywiselive.org. That's our home website. Lots of great information and resources there for you. We'll be right back.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
1 Corinthians 6:12. "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." He's saying when it comes to our freedom, all right, for instance, the Apostle Peter had a vision where he was shown all sorts of different kinds of foods. And God began to show him that there was no longer an unclean food to him, that all foods were clean. What God had given, all foods were clean. That's why you and I can have lobster bisque and not get a spirit of condemnation on us, because we're free. It's permissible. But is everything beneficial? I mean, if we got clogged arteries, Krispy Kreme is not beneficial. No, you're not under the legalistic righteousness of the Old Testament law. You could eat meat and cheese together. You could have your cheeseburger. You know, if you're downtown Jerusalem and you go to the McDonald's, you're going to have your hamburger. You're not going to have your cheeseburger, because they're not going to put that cheese with that meat. Well, you know, we're not under the law. But you may know that because of doctor's orders, it may be permissible to you in the spirit, but it may not be beneficial. You understand what I'm saying? This is where you and I have to be led of the spirit. There are a lot of things that are permissible to it. You and I have to be able to discern, you know what? That's not gonna be good for me.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, like a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org. Or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
All right, let's stay in the state of Florida, Claremont, Florida. Jeanette, we appreciate your phone call today. And what's on your mind?
Hi there. I just had a question about finances. And so my husband and I went through a really rough spell the last 10, 12 years. And recently, after I basically gave it all to God, we've been blessed with me having a promotion in my job, and my income tripled.
Wow.
So I know. So my credit report is horrible. My student loan went into default. My husband had medical issues, missed a year of work. Our son passed away, and everything just fell apart. Well, at that point, you know, God brings us to our knees, and I was definitely very humbled, and I just gave it all to God. Everything was falling apart. Well, we have been blessed since August. I have been working this position, and it's tripled my income. But now my husband and I have various viewpoints on how to get where we want to go. We want to buy a house this year, but I think he's so nervous from all the things that have happened. He's more like, let's just save everything and not pay anything on my credit report, because I would be the one purchasing the house. Well, he would be the co-person. But I guess I'm just calling to see how – I know in time it'll all fall into place, but then we're going to have another issue of I want to respect him. He's the man of the house who God put in our family as a leader. And he was the one that pointed me out to your show. And so we started both listening. And so I guess I just wanted to get some perspective, because I was nervous about every time you pay something on the credit report, I think it takes 45 days for it to clear. Or I'm not sure about that, but that's what I could find out. And then some people are saying don't pay stuff. And, you know, when my son passed away, they put my credit card on a hold for the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Well, we never went back to revisit it, because we never were able to get back on our feet for a while until now. But then they just recently put that on my credit report. So we have friends and family, some saying don't pay it. And then I'm like, well, we have to be able to purchase a house.
Yeah. Well, Jeanette, I appreciate you explaining the situation. Obviously, you all have been through a lot. Certainly our hearts go out to you and the loss of your son. And, you know, as you think about moving forward and what God has for you, I think the key is that you use this as an opportunity to come together. It sounds like by God's grace, you're on the other side of some of the challenges you've had as husband and wife. And obviously God's goal and plan for marriage is oneness. And
my prayer is that money will actually be something that draws you together and not becomes a wedge that separates you in any way. And I think the starting place for that is to come together and pray and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? What are you calling us to in terms of our lifestyle? What would you have us to do in terms of our future goals and dreams as it relates to the resources you've entrusted to us? And what we can have confidence in, Jeanette, without any question whatsoever, is that God is never going to lead us in a way that contradicts or is against his principles that we find in his word. And clearly in his word, we see a number of principles, 2,350 verses related to money, but one of those is that we should be givers, and so we should know we should live open-handedly. Another one is the wicked borrows and does not repay, and so we should have an absolute commitment to repayment within the context of what we're able to do, and so you can't do it all at once, but I do think whatever you owe, whether it ever hit your credit report or not, whatever you charged, whether it was your own doing or an unforeseen medical event or because of the loss of your son, I mean, any number of things, I think you need to, before God, in the same way you said, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to turn it over to you. I think part of this is the two of you, your husband and you, coming together and saying, we're going to repay this. However long it takes, whatever we have to do, we want to honor God and make good on these commitments. So if it were me, I would start on my knees and pray and come together, and you all kind of develop a vision for your goals and what you want to do moving forward. But then secondly, I'd get a proper accounting of everything you owe. I would get it all written down where you could see it. What is the amount owed? What is the interest? What are the penalties? What do we need to do? And then I would pray about delaying that home purchase for a while and really go after these debts and see if you can't make some significant progress. At the very least, get on a repayment plan, or in some cases, try to save up and then just pay lump sums and settle with each of these debts. They will be willing to work with you, and our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org would be happy to help you. Call us back along the way if you have questions, too. We'll Jeanette be praying for you. Lord bless you.
Yes, we certainly will. Jeanette, we appreciate your call. We'll be praying with you about this. Thanks so much. Don't get out ahead of God on this. Lots of houses out there. We appreciate your call. God bless. More Money Wise Live with Rob West after this.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm 91, 14 through 16, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Moody Bible Institute founder Dwight Lyman Moody once said,
"Take courage. We walk in the wilderness today, but in the promised land tomorrow."
For Christ followers, we walk with a mission to share the gospel of Christ. Each day provides opportunity to invest in this mission. A charitable gift annuity to benefit Moody provides life income to you with the remainder supporting the work of the Moody Bible Institute. To find out much more, call 1-800-801-2171. That's 800-801-2171.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The family of George Floyd says an independent autopsy has found that he died of asphyxiation from sustained pressure on his back and neck. Floyd, a black man who was in handcuffs at the time, died a week ago after a white Minnesota officer held his knee on Floyd's neck for several minutes. The officer ignored bystander shouts to get off of him and Floyd's cries that he couldn't breathe. The family's autopsy differs from the official autopsy as described in a criminal complaint that ruled out asphyxiation or strangulation. A California biotech company says its experimental drug remdesivir improves symptoms when given for 5 days to moderately ill patients with COVID-19. Gilead Sciences say full results will be published soon in a medical journal. The Dow today finished 91 points higher. This is SRN News.
If you'd like to visit us and perhaps, just perhaps, even like us on Facebook, you'll find us at MoneyWise Media. You'll also find our website at moneywiselive.org. Lots of free resources there, budget templates, radio archives, things like that. Also, how to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area and how to connect with a budget coach at no charge. Just visit moneywiselive.org, and it's also where you can make a gift if you'd like. A gift of any size would be most appreciated, most welcome. We appreciate you standing with us so that we can help others find true financial freedom. Let's continue on. Lincolnwood, Illinois. And Duena, thanks so much for your patience. What's your question today?
Yeah, hello. I'm selling my property in Tennessee, and there is lots of money there, and I don't know what to do.
Yes, Duena. Tell me a bit about that. So you've got a residence that you're selling. Are you relocating?
No. I live in Chicago in Lincolnwood, and that okay. was a real estate property, okay. commercial. How do you say that? My English is so poor.
Yeah, commercial property.
And, yeah, commercial property. And I don't know. I want to invest. I want to put something in retirement, and what else to do to buy something else.
Sure.
Even, I don't know, the closing will be next week, and even, okay. I don't know what kind of where to put the money, in saving yes. account, or the, how.
Yes. Duena, what do you expect the proceeds to be?
Will be after I pay the property off, and the real estate will be 1.6.
$1.6 million. Okay, so you've got obviously some significant assets. Well, here's what I would recommend. You really need somebody to come alongside you, a trusted financial professional that can help to navigate this with you in terms of making sure that this is handled properly. But then once you receive the assets, I'd go ahead and put that right into your bank. And then you're going to want to move that into a separate account. And as soon as you deposit it, you'll start getting calls from your bank because they'll have all kinds of ideas on what you should do with that. And that's not a bad thing. That's just what they do. But I would have a financial professional that you have engaged. And this may take a couple of weeks because I'm going to encourage you to interview at least three. Where you've picked somebody that can come alongside you, and really before any of the money is invested or any decisions are made about where to put the money, apart from the initial deposit into your checking account or a savings account, is really walking through your goals and beginning to develop a financial plan for your future. What kind of lifestyle are you living at? Do you have any debt? What do you want to do down the road? Are you looking at purchasing another property? What about your giving goals that you perhaps want? And then with the money that's available to be invested for the longer term, how should it
be invested? What is your risk tolerance and what is your time horizon? And then a portfolio is built that takes only as much risk as is appropriate for your situation. Not anymore. You're not trying to beat your friend down the street or your, somebody at church in the market. You're not trying to do better than what you hear on the TV at night. You're just trying to take as much risk and get as much return in according to what your goals and objectives are. So I would encourage you to go to our website and click on Find a Professional. And there in Illinois, I would encourage you to connect with somebody who has the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. This is going to be a financial professional who has significant training and expertise. They've met experience requirements, they've met training requirements, and they're a specialist in the application of a biblical worldview to financial decision-making. So they'll be able to bring God's Word alongside competent financial and investment advice. Again, I'd interview three. Find the one that's the best fit for you. If you have a family member who helps you with these kinds of things, perhaps take that person along as you interview these individuals. And then once you make a decision, then I think you'll have a lot more peace of mind as you move forward. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Duana. God bless you.
Thanks, Duana. You know, as I we have a few more notes on our screen here. We know a little bit about Duana that wasn't actually mentioned during the call. She does need some assistance on several levels, and that's what is most apparent and most comforting when we talk about Certified Kingdom Advisors. Not only professionals, not only good at what they do, but also they have the mindset, same mindset that we do. They understand where we're coming from, what our concerns are, what our generosity levels might be, what we're thinking about long term, all those things that come as part and parcel of a Certified Kingdom Advisor.
Yeah, an eternal perspective of money is not always in line with what the world would say we should do financially. And when we bring the counsel of Scripture along with it, that's where a CKA will understand that and affirm that biblical perspective.
Nashville, Tennessee. Rob, you're next. How can we help?
Hey, guys. I'm really grateful to have an opportunity to talk.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I listen to you guys regularly. I'm a fairly recent Christian, was baptized last year, and, I've been walking with God for a couple of years now. I've been in sales a long time and real estate the last 10 years. I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but I'm just going to be open because I think Satan uses, embarrassment to keep you enslaved, and I'm not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
So just the long and short of it is this. I've not been real good with my taxes. For a long time, I lived as a sales guy, like a lot of sales guys live. And I won't get into that, but, I just wasn't responsible putting things aside. Of the last 6 years, I'd only filed three of them. And part of it started with a cascade the seventh year, the year before all that. I was working for a second kind of gig part-time, and they had switched from one thing to another, and it changed my tax situation. And I just kind of put my head in the sand. I wasn't, thinking in a godly way. And, pay Caesar's thing to Caesar's.
Yeah.
Is important. And, I haven't done that. So where I'm afraid right now is just there's this big, just ugly monster, in my head. I'm really afraid to call the IRS just directly and say, hey, I might owe you something. I estimated it maybe around $25,000, but I'm really not sure.
Yes.
And I don't even know where to start. And I don't want to just walk into a lion's den, so to speak, on this. I'd like to be as protected as I can be. I am now setting things aside, 35% of each of my closings I set aside now, and moving forward, that's going to be handled. But I just need some advice on what to do so I'm not stuck.
Yeah, well, I appreciate, Rob, you being transparent. I'm so delighted that you know the Lord and you're growing in your relationship, and clearly you want to honor him and your actions moving forward. The key is, just like any creditor, you want to not run away from them. You want to run to them. You know what the IRS will tell you, even if you can't afford to make the payment, you still want to file the return. But in this case, what I would recommend is one of two things. Either a tax advocate. This is an independent organization. organization within the IRS, and it's your voice at the IRS, and they'll help to represent you as a taxpayer. Even better than that is a CPA or an enrolled agent who has a specialty in serving those to represent them before the IRS in filing back taxes, offers and compromises, representation. So I would find somebody, either ask around in your church or go to our website, moneywiselive.org, and search for a CKA who's a CPA. And I think that'll get you on the right path.
Rob, thanks for your call. God bless you as you move forward with the Lord. Thanks so much.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Most Christians don't do that. They focus on a task they do in their church or a ministry they support, boxing God's purpose for their life into a small part of their life, and then wonder where God is the rest of their life. It's not complicated. God's purpose is to seek and save the lost, that none should be lost. And when you live your life for His purpose, He'll make everything in your life work for good. That's the end of worry and the beginning of wholehearted faith and His promise to direct your steps. Let your light so shine before men that they will see God through you and want Him for themselves. And when you do that, God's joy will remain with you and your joy will remain full. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Do you struggle with your prayer life? I do. I struggle with knowing if I've prayed long enough, fervent enough, or even specific enough. But what I struggle with most is knowing whether or not I am praying the will of God, what is really on the heart of God. So how do I know when I'm praying the will of God? Because when I pray the Word of God, it's never contrary to the will of God. So when it comes to this matter of praying for revival and spiritual awakening, where can I go in Scripture to know that I'm really praying what's on God's heart? Isaiah 64 is the perfect place. Can I encourage you to read and pray through Isaiah 64 as a way to ask God for revival in our nation? I'm Byron Paulus, founder of OneCry.com.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's a joy and a blessing to be here with you today. We know you could be doing lots of other things, but instead you're here with us, and we don't take that lightly. Thanks so much. Let's go to Tampa, Florida now, take another call. This time it's from Todd.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for calling today. How can we help?
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Well, the overarching question is, how do you terminate a timeshare in an ethical way? So let me give you a little bit of background and just stop me because I get wordy. 25 years ago, we purchased a timeshare, hook, line, sinker. I won't get into that detail. We kept telling ourselves, this is okay, we'll get through this. There's got to be some kind of profit out of it for us as a family, but never came to fruition. But we did pay that timeshare off at least a decade ago. So we've been stuck with this tax and maintenance fee continuously, perpetually.
Yeah.
And it's even stronger than a marriage certificate. Death do us part, and then it attacks our estate after we're gone. So, I'm trying to get to the point where, we're debt managing. We're trying to get rid of all this extra fluff in our lives. And this is one of those big ones. The word ethical, I didn't want to just pay somebody to take my timeshare and turn it around and give it to some other poor sucker like myself, you know, many years ago. And that would be unethical for me to even be a part to that. So I wanted to nullify the contract. And I did find an advising company that for a third of the cost of trying to so-called pay to sell it, they had advised me that, okay, we can take you through a six-month process where we will give you the words to say and the letters to write so you can talk directly to the owner, and the owner will probably try to threaten you with collections and such and so forth. But after a time, they will finally give up and, you know, go ahead and nullify the contract.
Well, here's my perspective on it, Todd, is, you know, I think I appreciate you saying you don't want it to be resold. You know, I think if that's your personal conviction, then you need to stay with that. There really are only two ways to do this, because you've entered into this contract. You've agreed to it, despite the fact that you would change that if you could go back. You know, you did take it on, and obviously you want to honor that. Now, I realize you want to try to get out of this. So if you don't want to try to work through the management company and perhaps pay a fee and have them resell it to somebody else or advertise it yourself, and as long as you read the fine print, actually try to sell it to another third party, then the only other way is to try to get out of it. But I wouldn't do it in such a way, you know, like with a credit repair company. What they'll do is oftentimes these folks will go in and you'll just stop paying, and then they'll get you to keep paying what you were sending to the creditor and put it in a separate account, and then let it go into collections and then come back and try to negotiate a settlement. I don't like that approach. And that's perhaps what you're exploring here, where everything just gets cut off and then they use the non-payment to try to force a settlement of some kind. I'd rather you work through a legal process. I don't have familiarity with them myself, but I know a number of folks that I trust recommend a number of organizations. One of those is the Timeshare Exit Team. So you could check them out just to get an understanding of how they work. In you know, really what you would be looking for is a complete cancellation, and that's going to cost you something, but you'd be looking to get out of this once and for all. So I think you know, that's really your only option at this point, but you do need to be very careful, because there are a lot of scams out there in this space that folks you know, can get into, where people promise you things and they are less than reputable. So do your homework before you get in to anything, and I'd start by reviewing the language in the contract just to see if there's any provisions for you to exit, even if it's going to cost you something.
Todd, we've been answering this question for many years, and I have to be honest and tell you that the only thing that I've ever heard that really worked for more than one person was actually running an ad locally in the city where the timeshare is. If there are people in that city that go there on a regular basis because they've already convinced themselves that they like being there, they like to hang out with family members, they go fishing there, whatever it is, they go back every year already. So if you run an ad in a local newspaper, perhaps they would see that and go in with both their eyes wide open and want a timeshare. Obviously, you're not going to make money on it. That's not your goal, to make money. You just want to dump it in an ethical and honest way, but you just want to get rid of it. Other than that, I've not personally heard of anything. We're sorry to hear that you're in this situation, we just wish you the best. We'll pray that God gives you some real wisdom and direction here. And if you find something that really works for you, let us know so that we can share it with others, all right?
Yes, I will certainly do that. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. We appreciate your ethical and honest approach to this. Thank you so much. Let's take one more call, maybe two more. Let's see. Riverview, Florida. Hi, John. Hopefully you're not calling about a timeshare.
No. Thank you, though. I appreciate you taking my call.
Good, sure.
What it's in reference to is probably in about 2.5 months, I'll be reaching age 62 as far as retirement. And I... wondering what your thought was, whether I should retire at 62 or if I should wait till later on. and what a person would need to roughly retire on.
Yeah.
No.
Well, John, you know, there's a couple of things there. I mean, when you say, should I retire at 62, I suspect you're asking about, should I start taking Social Security and stop working at the same time? Is that really what you're asking?
I was thinking about taking Social Security and then maybe working for maybe a year or two yet.
Yeah. I would actually encourage you to wait if you can. You know, first thing to do is if you kind of take a step back is to say, what is God calling me to? Because your calling never expires. God places a call on each of our lives. He's uniquely wired you. And so you need to be seeking what his plan is for your life, perhaps with the current work that you're doing or beyond that. You know, I think we take a bit of a different perspective than the culture on that season of life where it's not a time necessarily where we would just, you know, cash in the chips and we'd, you know, sit on the front porch and live the easy life. We would say during this season where we have wisdom and experience, God, what do you have for me? And what do you want me to be doing? How can I invest in your kingdom with my time and my resources? But the financial part is very real because there will come a time where you perhaps can't work or don't want to work anymore, and that's okay. And so in terms of the amount that you need available for retirement, it's got to start with your budget. Just a couple of rules of thumb. Most people that we have looked at and most studies will say that retirees live on an average of 80% of their pre-retirement income. So that would be a good starting point to say, okay, what am I earning today? 80% of that is what I need. Now, how am I going to make that up? Well, that's either going to come from guaranteed income sources like a Social Security or a pension, or it's going to come through investments from savings. And the rule of thumb there would be to say, okay, how can I save up enough so that 4% a year on my investments would offset the difference between my guaranteed income sources and my total expenses? Well, that's going to require that you have somewhere around 10 times your expenses in the bank, 10 times your salary, I should say, in the bank when you retire. Now, for some people, that's a little scary and say, well, I just can't get there. Well, that's okay. But I think you just need to recognize that you're solving for a lifestyle that God has called you to, whatever that is, however much or however little, and you have to decide, how am I going to provide for myself? Where is that income going to come from? So as you look at your investments, I think that's the question you need to begin to answer as you put a retirement budget together. How much do I need to have in the bank for me to be able to generate the income I need so that I don't run through this money and it lasts throughout the rest of my life? But let me just pause there. We have just about a couple of minutes left. What are your thoughts on what I shared?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I have some savings. I was just wanting, you know, sometimes too, I didn't know about mutual funds. I heard you say earlier about bonds. So I don't know what if you knew of anyone in the area that could advise me, which would be the best situation here. So too.
Yeah, it's a good question. So there in Florida, I would just recommend you do a search and see what the closest certified kingdom advisor is to you. This is going to be an investment professional who could sit down with you and help you evaluate not only what investments you have currently, what your portfolio looks like, but also how much do you need, and do some retirement planning with you. And you can find that person at moneywiselive.org. But I think for the investments that you have and what you will add to it over the next several years, you know, that would be the person that can help you determine that. Let me just add one more thing. Keep in mind, if you take Social Security at 62, you're going to take about a 25% reduction over what you will get if you wait till full retirement age. So it may make some sense for you to delay that and wait till full retirement age, especially if you plan to continue working. But we'll certainly be praying that the Lord will give you some wisdom as you make these decisions.
John, thanks so much for calling in today. If there's anything else you need further down the road a little bit, feel free to give us a call, but I think probably your next best stop is to go to kingdomadvisors.org or moneywiselive.org, and you'll find an easy way to contact a Kingdom Advisor in your area, and I think they can help you as you walk through this process. But we're glad that you called today, and we wish you the best. And with that, We are just about out of time, so let me say that if you have questions about your retirement and your investments, one of the best places you can look is the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, written by our great friends at soundmindinvesting.org. It really is a next step guide for the average person when it comes to investing, mutual funds, all the rest. It's user-friendly, easy to understand, written in everyday English. It really is a primary resource that we recommend. It's called the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. You'll find it available to purchase when you visit us at moneywiselive.org. MoneyWise Live is indeed a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. We thank Moody for all of their great assistance. We thank you for tuning in, for listening, and for telling others. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Enjoy the rest of your day, and please come back and join us again next time.